In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome. Fan base, deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman here with John Senecal. Obviously, we're teeing you up for the week, but we have to recap the Yankees and the Red Sox series. The Red Sox take 2 of 3. And listen, I'll give you my talking points. The first and foremost, I think the Yankees are the story. Because, listen, the Red Sox, I'll get into why you might be more encouraged, but they score 5 runs in 3 games. They lose 2 of 3. The division's not the issue. The issue is, like, you're trying to win the World Series.
Right.
And this team, from my perspective, and even though, you know, obviously I'm biased against them, really, but I don't really care enough to say I'm against them, they do not look like a team that can win the World Series.
No, they definitely don't. They definitely don't look like a team to win World Series. And I was talking when we were watching the games of this last series, you know, my sons and I, we were watching it, and you're saying to yourself, this is not a team that can come back and win. Earlier in the year, you know, before the All-Star break, actually, you know, before July, you would look and the Yankees would be down 3 or 4, even 4 or 5 runs, you know, in the 6th, 7th inning, and you'd be like, oh, don't worry about it. They're going to come back and win this game. And now it's like, you know, the offense is so anemic, and, you know, it relies so much heavily on Judge. You know, the holes when Stanton's not in the lineup and Carpenter's missing. You know, you say what you want about Carpenter, right? He flashes in the pan, right? You know, he's a great player all along, and he comes back, catches a little fire in the bottle, but he's still a good player. And then you lose someone like Stanton, who's, you know, you clearly that is not a good spot to use in their lineup. But listen, the Yankees aren't scoring runs. It's not the starting pitching that's the problem, and the bullpen's terrible. The bullpen is not good. Surprisingly, your boy Aroldis Chapman's the one kind of highlight right now in the bullpen.
Yeah, that's why. But it's mid-August, of course.
Right. But listen, he has been terrible up until the last few games. You know, we talked about this over and over and over again, and everybody knows it. It's not easy to be a closer.
No. And listen, let's face it. It's one of those things where you can find one anywhere, but you still got to find one, and you're not proven until you prove it. And
this year's proven it, because they've been tossing closers around in trades in the league like it's nothing. I mean, division leaders are getting rid of their closers.
Yeah, it's an interesting position, and you wonder how much to invest in it. And listen, I was very early on to say I thought they needed to get a closer just to backstop the kid, because you just don't know if he can do it in a spot. You just don't know yet. But for me, it's not even.
He looks scared. He doesn't look confident. When he gets out there on the mound, when he was out there in the first game of the series, and it was just, you could just tell. Like, but it's weird. I don't know how, like, it goes to a manager's head, right? That's your guy. You want him to be your closer, right? But he's not Mariano Rivera. He's not Trevor Hoffman. He's not, I mean, what's your big closer now that's out there?
I don't even know.
Exactly, right? He's not that guy. So why are you going to keep putting him out there hoping that he gets his confidence back, hoping that he gets it back?
But the thing is, you have to let him become, if he's going to be the Yankee closer for, I don't know, 5 years or whatever, you have to let him become that. And that includes ups and downs. So maybe they're just letting him grow into it.
What's happening in the bullpen, though? Like, what is going on in the bullpen to come in there and just be so awful? You can't even literally throw a strike. I mean, the Red Sox were sitting there, just don't swing.
Yeah.
Just don't swing. Just stand there.
And the Red Sox are not a very good team, especially now. But let me just say this, and this is the one thing, the only thing I'm going to say on it, because you touched on it sort of almost anecdotally or like in passing. The pitching is a conversation, but when you have Rizzo, who's like 1 for 19 in his last 4 or 5 games, you don't have Stanton, you don't have Carpenter. It's really is the offense.
Anemic. It's anemic.
Yeah, you don't have enough. And if Rizzo can get it straight and Stanton can come back and be Stanton, I think you'll get your mojo back. And I actually think that gives the pitchers more confidence. Now, it's not good for maybe the World Series, but when you're coming in and it's 4-1 as opposed to 2-1, it feels a lot different.
Yep.
And they're not having those leads like that anymore, and that is the problem. So to me, all the problems come from the offense. And Stanton is the key. I mean, Judge can do whatever he wants. He can't carry the team. I mean, no one person can carry a team.
Absolutely not, because you work around them if you have to, right?
Walk them four times a night if you have to. If you really are about winning and you don't care, there are ways to make sure you can take Judge out of the game if you're not scared of anybody else.
He'll start pressing. And you've seen it a little bit over this series. He did press a little bit. But
I'm just saying the vibe around that team is not good.
No, it's not. It's definitely not good. And any Yankee fan or any baseball fan, especially Yankee fans, can know. I mean, my 13-year-old son can tell. Like, he can tell watching it. And he watches a lot of the games. He watches, like, he stayed up and watched that whole game.
Did he really? God, I love your house.
Yeah, it's crazy. I fell asleep. I almost made it, but I got up the next morning. I'm like, he's like, I watched the whole game. I'm like, I got over like 2 a.m. He's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. I love it. The fact that he loves that just makes me so happy.
Yeah, the game against Seattle. I was like, you're crazy.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. And my wife and daughter were at Sunday night's game that was less than 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was like 2 hours and 13 minutes or something.
I would have gone if I knew, because the last game I went to was just shy of 4 hours. And I'm just like,
when was the last Yankees-Red Sox game that was under 3.5 hours?
Or on a Sunday night, they're guaranteed to draw it. I bet ESPN lost a lot of money in ads because they couldn't run it as many.
Well, they had the K-Rod special, didn't they? So
whatever. I mean, Jeter, I know he's great. He bores
me to
tears. Tell
us how you guys used to like each other, but you still do.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. I mean, I didn't even listen to it. And
how about the picture with it? Was it him, Nomar, A-Rod, and they all had like their shirts off, and like Carlos Baerga? Who was it? It was like the forum in Sports Illustrated.
Oh, back in the day.
Back in the day.
And like, Nomar was all juiced up.
Oh, God.
But what I want to say about the Red Sox is they're still have like 3-4+ teams to hop over.
Really? Right as we speak now, 4.5 out. I mean, they gained a game since we talked last.
Right, but that's, game. I mean, that's...
It's not undoable.
My point is like, Walker looked good Sunday night. You get Kike Hernandez back. I mean, this last 2 weeks, J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, and even Devers were not hitting, and Devers finally seems to be waking up. So my point is, like, they actually could get some momentum. The question is, will they have enough? I mean, they have to do one of those, like, win 10 out of 12 type deals to get in that groove, and I'm not sure they can do it, but it's not over yet.
No,
and I think Hernandez,
not.
I think you have to understand this. Kike Hernandez, who you, I know, were very constructive on when they signed him, but Jaron Duran's not a major league center fielder.
No.
And they've learned that he's not a leadoff hitter, so they dumped him to the bottom line. And I don't expect Pham to keep up what he's been doing, but having said that, you get Kike back, that just makes the team deeper.
It's an attitude. He brings a different element to the game.
And so I honestly, they can't get him on the field quick enough. And I don't know if there are enough games left for them to catch him. And I still don't love the team.
Who's coming back first, Kiki or Harrison Bader?
Everyone seems to love that guy, though.
I know.
But where's he going to play?
He's going to play center field. What are you going to do? Aaron Chicks is batting like 220.
So what's the outfield for the Yankees
right
now?
Well, Judge is going back and forth to right. LeCastro played left in the last.
Where does Benintendi go?
Not left, center, LeCastro. But Benintendi will stay in left.
So
move Judge.
So basically you'd have Judge in, if Stanton comes back and Bader comes back, you'll have Bader in center, Benintendi in left, and Judge in right. With Stanton DH. That's good.
And you'll roll him in and out as according. If you have to, you move Judge to center and then you pinch run Bader late, something defensive late, you know. Because Bader's not there to hit, right? He's not going to be there to hit. Hopefully, anybody should be able to hit better than Aaron Hicks.
People love Bader, though.
But that's what I'm saying. He could just be strictly a later in the game, too, defensive replacement in some games.
Interesting.
But, so, we'll see. We'll see. He's got to get back first.
Well, let's talk about
Jordan Montgomery for him. Jesus.
Talk about getting back. We do have to talk about Fernando Tatis Jr. for a second. We have to talk about it because it was pretty stunning that he got popped for 80 games. Does that mean it's the second violation?
No, the first violation is 80 now. They upped it from the 50. But the Ryan Braun 50 is now up to 80.
Ryan Braun 50. What? Give me your quick takeaway here before I give you mine.
So my quick takeaway for this is, all right, huge blow for not just the Padres, but for Major League Baseball.
Do you think they knew and that's why they got Soto?
I don't think so, because they said he got tested like the day before, I believe they announced it. They announced it on a Friday, I believe. And then I think he tested the day before or that day. Anyways, I believe not only for the Padres, huge blow for Major League Baseball. I mean, they still haven't pulled his chunks out of a lot of their promos and for like these, you know, the spots. I don't know if the Boys and Girls Club got to him yet, but you know, the Dairy Queen curse is out there between him, Bellinger, and Anderson.
Yeah.
They all got hurt. But huge blow for Major League Baseball. He was their go-to. I mean, when you think about it, for this generation, that'd be like Derek Jeter getting popped.
You think it's that big?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're looking at a guy that had a 13 years left on his deal because they extended him, right? They gave him a 10-year extension. But you can't tell me they weren't building him up to be the poster child for MLB. They're one of the most exciting players out there, electric and just, you know, a kid. He right. was the kid. He was Ken Griffey Jr., Mike Trout, Derek Jeter, all rolled into one.
So my biggest problem is that it bothered me to no end how he got hurt in the first place, right? Riding the motorcycle, whatever. But I guess what I don't understand is that, does that mean the mask? Because this brings me to the question is like, is everyone back doing it? Here's a guy making 30 whatever million a year. How dumb are you not to do it and have the right masking? So maybe he screwed up with his, whatever his cycle was, maybe he screwed up with taking it, which makes me think that everybody's taking it again. Because he's a company. He's a $300 million company. And they broke the law. It's like you know, putting I don't know, battery acid in your baby formula. You know what I mean? Like, you don't do it. Right. So does that mean that they are doing it all the time and they just screwed up, like, the masking agent or, like, how they filtered it out of his system? Like, what does it mean about the overall game that Fernando Tatis Jr., a $300 million company, got popped for this?
When we first read it, we thought it was an Sports Onion at first.
Right.
When I first read it, I thought it was a joke at first. And then when I saw Jeff Passan did it, retweeted it, we all looked at each other like, well, he's not going to go out there and tweet something that's that, like, stupid, right?
But, like, what's the circumstance? We know it's true. Like, was it because he's in recovery mode and so he took it to come back quicker, which you would think maybe logical and understandable?
We all know it wasn't for ringworm. We know that's BS.
No, because, well, there's that whole, there's another steroid with a similar name.
Right. And it's like they Googled it and they just came up with the wrong one.
It's not a,
that's BS. So it comes down to, did the doctors, I'll use quotation marks, that were so-called giving him this, did they screw up for his recovery and it was something with the wrist stuff? Or, like you said, I don't know what goes through the thought process ahead. You know, I've always said all along that there's a different thought process from the players that come from a different country, right? I'm not saying that people that come from our country are not getting popped, right?
Right.
We know that happens, right? We've known that. That's very obvious. But I think it's more of a... I don't want to say it. Maybe it is an educational thing. You know,
I don't know.
I don't know. But
to
listen,
me, like,
to
again, you're a $300 million company.
Exactly.
You're not that stupid.
He's
you can't give me that.
Million
you can't
company.
Give me the cultural differences thing. That's not. That doesn't hold.
I can't put myself in that position to explain it because I'm not in that position. And, like, you got to wonder what goes through someone's head if you're doing something like that. You're not just going to inject it. You have to inject that, most likely.
Yeah,
I mean, right? It's an anabolic steroid. It has to be injected.
It's programmatic.
It's not rubbing on you. It's not like you fell over and you, like, someone roofied you.
That's why I want to know. I want to know the context. Did he just take it because he needed a rehab and wanted to come back quicker?
That would be my guess. But it doesn't help you, that so-called drug. It should hurt your rehab as far as bone regrowth and all
that. Which, again, like, and he's not like some big jacked out guy. I mean, he's relatively slender and what have you. But there's always more going on than we know.
Oh,
and so that's what I'm curious about, because maybe this stuff is back to being pervasive. And they just have figured it out, and he just screwed up with his regimen. I'm not being accusatory.
Right.
I just don't know.
Well, it makes sense what you're saying. I mean, listen, if they could do it back in the day with A-Rod, I mean, if anybody has read that story, you know that there's always trying to be one step ahead, and it doesn't seem like it's that hard. But I'd say with technology nowadays, you got to be pretty lightning fast to be one step ahead, right? And if you're going to be pinching the biggest player in Major League Baseball when he's going to come back and everybody's waiting on it, and it was such a great story because the Padres had the big three, and they're going to run for the World Series,
yeah.
And now it's not. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I watched this through my kids' eyes. Like, you could literally see that they were like, broke, not broken, but they were hurt by it. Like, that was a big player for them. Like, my kids were legit excited to see him come back and play.
Interesting.
And you could see it through the eyes. It was much like, you know, like, I mean, I was older when A-Rod got pinched, but, you know, it's like my kids were a little bit younger, but they didn't understand the whole steroid thing when A-Rod got pinched, right? But still, like, it's like, you got to think of it that way. And then I just read a thing the other day, like, his baseball card market will drop almost $100 million in value over this.
Way.
Yeah, he had one card, his rookie card, was worth $3 million, and it dropped to 500 grand overnight.
Still crazy that it's
still crazy that
grand.
You can own that, but if you don't, not even talking about those cards, talk about cards that are at the smaller value,
yeah.
Like the cards like that were $100 that dropped to like $20 overnight. He's never going to make the Hall of Fame unless it's some sort of posthumous whatever.
Tatis.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won't have the longevity.
So he's going to play out his whole career, if he plays out his whole career, for what, 13 years, 15, 16? He's 24 years old when he comes back, right? 25? Yeah. Knowing that he's not going to make the Hall of Fame no matter pretty much what he does.
Now, did Pujols ever get caught?
No, but there was sniffing. There was sniffing about Pujols, but it never. And I remember, I thought there was going to be like, there was threats of like a lawsuit. When that whole Mitchell report first came out, there was a lot of, I mean, I think Johnny Damon's name was swirled around. It was like people were just kind of grabbing at air because that wasn't supposed to be public, as we remember the first round of it. And then, yeah, I don't think, you know, Pujols never got pinched.
So there's obviously, not quite like Ortiz, but there's always swirling, not doubt, but there, a lot of people assume.
Yeah, if you're that big of a dude and you're dominating the game and there's steroids and everybody. Right.
And now he's what, now he's like 43, something like that?
43, so 700, he's at, almost closing in 700 home runs.
As of Monday, he's at 689. And you said there are what, like less than 50 games?
Got like 48 games left.
As of Monday. And so I highly doubt that he'll hit 11.
One every four games.
I doubt that. Even if they, listen, they still have a bit of a division race, so they can't just mail it in.
I looked at their schedule going out. So they have about 12 really important games. Like, all their games are important, but 12 contenders. Yeah, right. They finished with the Dodgers. They finished four with Milwaukee, and they got some Braves coming up. But most of them is like the Cubs, the Reds, the Pirates. So those are games that he might see a lot of at-bats in if he's out there. But at the same time, like you said, Brian, they are still trying to win their division.
That's a lot, and that's a lot of home runs for anybody to hit in that duration.
He's coming back.
Well, that's the question. Well, you keep saying Mr. 3000. What's the story of that movie?
Well, Bernie Mac, rest in peace, he played Mr. 3000, where he had retired from baseball thinking that he had enough like hits or something. I think he thought he had 3,000, but there was some like technicality where he didn't, and he had to find out, and he had been retired from baseball, and he had to come back to get the 3,000th hit.
And I can't remember
all the hijinks that went on behind the scenes and all that, but I think he eventually did get it.
And so the question is, I mean, because we all, I mean, I think he even announced, I mean,
that he's retiring.
Yeah, so if he, say, first of all, he's got 10 home runs on the year, so he'd have to double his season total in the last month and a half,
right,
which it's just not going to happen.
I got an idea.
But what if he's at 695?
I think what they should do is just make, he didn't get a farewell tour. This should be his farewell tour. He just gets served heaters every town he comes in. If the game's like, you know.
I mean, the end of this season.
Till the season, till
we'll
runs out.
We'll give him one pitch per at bat.
Yeah.
We're going to groove one. 85 mile an hour right down the middle.
Every at bat, your first pitch is going to be grooved. Unless it's like bases loaded or something. But, you know, that should be his farewell tour. Hey, Poppy got one. Jeter got one, right? That should be his farewell tour.
But if he's at 695, you don't think he'll come back? He won't. Ugh,
man, that's tough. I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame no matter what, right?
Right. Who cares? Like, to me, it's like it ends when it ends. Just let it go.
I don't think he comes back.
I think what's going to end up happening is that he's going
to hit like five more.
Well, won't even hit more of that. So he'll be, if you're seven out, he's not coming back. Because who's to say that you know, he's 42 now. Who's to say at 43 that he'll be able to hit any? I mean, you just don't know.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, what it would be. So I think it's a good story. I think it would be insane if he actually hit 700.
Imagine
if he goes in the last weekend at like 698.
And a tear.
I mean, that
and
would
then
be.
And he tests positive for, what was it? Klosterball.
Yeah, Klosterball.
After the season.
No, but if they're clinched, they should just hit him. If they clinch the division, they should just hit him leadoff every day.
Yeah. I don't think they're clinching the division.
Yeah.
That's really. I think they're going to be waiting. They're going to be sniffing their last week out to clinch the division. It's too close.
All right. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This has been a, you know, nice little recap. The Yankees are in trouble. The Red Sox have a pulse. Tatis ruined children's belief in the game.
Idiot. You're an idiot, Fernando.
And Pujols.
First the motorcycle and now this.
I know. It just drives me bananas. Until next time, this is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.